time to preview the Cincinnati Bengals-Detroit Lions game in the trenches with Dave Lapham. And no better person to preview that football game with than Lomas Brown. Unbelievable offensive tackle. Played 18 years in the National Football League. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. Has a chance to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That great a player. Now he's the color analyst for the Detroit Lions. And he has plenty of good things to say about the matchup between the Cincinnati Bengals and Detroit Lions. I think you're going to like it. Welcome once again to In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. We're in our outstanding First Star Logistics studios, and we're joined today by an outstanding offensive lineman. This guy's the real deal. Lomas Brown played in the NFL for a long time. Now he's the color analyst for the Detroit Lions radio network. And Lomas, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dave. Everything is good. I was just talking to you about this unseasonably warm weather we have in here in Detroit. So I'm a happy big fella right now.
I hear you. Let's talk a little bit about you. I mean, I want people to really understand how great a player, and it goes all the way back to high school. I got to make sure I get this right, so I got to get my spectacles on here. In 2006, you were voted number 8 on the top 100 players of the first 100 years of Florida high school football. They pick you number 8 of the top 100 of the first 100 years. What was that like to get that honor?
Oh man, it was an honor. It really was, especially, you know, the type of football that we play in the state of Florida. We take pride in the type of football players that come from Florida, and you know, just to be voted amongst those great players that played down there, it was phenomenal. It really was. Had a lot of success in high school, and you know, I was just happy. So I played a different position back then. The big fella was on the defense and played a lot of defensive end back then. But they must have thought I was pretty good back then.
No doubt about it. And then Florida High School Athletic Association, you're one of 33 players to make the All Century team. Man, that's pretty incredible. Tremendous honors. Then, of course, you go to Florida, University of Florida, and all you do there is you're in the University of Florida Hall of Fame. You're voted into that in 95. You make the College Football Hall of Fame in 2020. Unbelievable. You were part of you won the Jacobs Blocking Trophy at Florida, and you anchored the Great Wall of Florida. How about that? The Great Wall of Florida.
I know. I just have so many great memories of those guys, Billy Henson and Crawford Kerr and Phil Bromley, Jeff Zimmerman. Man, we had a great time back then. It was great, man, being part of that group. And, you know, back then in the SEC, which it is now, it's tough, man. It's tough winning in the SEC. It was tough back then. And we had some great battles back in the day. And, you know, it was just great being part of a great group. And that's what I say as an offensive lineman. You're only as great as the guys that are around you. And they believe me, they did a lot to help me get to where I was. So I appreciate those guys.
You end up being the 6th pick in the 85 draft by the Lions. 11 years you played with the Lions, 18 years in the National Football League. Yeah. How's your body doing? 18 years. You
know, I'm just glad I can still walk and function, you know, do little things that normal people can do. So, yeah, I pride myself on, you know, just having one surgery, you know, out of my 18 years, especially playing on the offensive line. So I was blessed in a lot of different ways. And like you said, and, you know, just to be able to play in the NFL that long, where, you know, it stands for not for long. It was just a privilege. I enjoy each and every year that I got to play in the NFL and kind of miss it, really miss it. Still to this day, I miss being a part of it.
Man, you had two great abilities, durability and availability. And they kind of go hand in hand. So with Tampa Bay, you're a Super Bowl winner. You win the Super Bowl with the Tampa mm-hmm. Bay Buccaneers playing with them. With the Lions, you go to 7 straight Pro Bowls and you're blocking for Barry Sanders. What was it like during that time frame of your career when you got a back like Barry Sanders you're working with and you're just going, you're a perennial Pro Bowler? What was that life like?
Oh, it was great. It really was. I just think the thing that's missing is just the playoff success. we won a lot of regular season games, you know, as Detroit Lions. We just couldn't put it together in the playoffs when it really counted. But blocking for Barry Sanders, man, oh, my gosh, man. It was – look, put it this way, Dave. Every Monday when you go into meetings, it's going to be about four or five plays that you're going to see on that film that you're going to be like, oh, my goodness, how did he do that? I mean, and it may be plays that don't make the highlight films because it may be a two-yard gain, a three-yard gain, but it's going to be the best two- or three-yard gain you ever seen in your life. So it was phenomenal to be able to play with a talent like Barry Sanders, and he helped me. He helped me get my notoriety and helped kind of put me on the board out there. So it was great playing for him. But it was also tough because you had to make sure you stayed on your blocks. Even though the play might be going that way, you know, Barry could cut it all the way back. So you had to make sure you stayed on your blocks. But I had a phenomenal 11 years in Detroit and enjoyed it.
Man, that's incredible. And to play with a talent like that, that's a unique experience. There's no two ways about it. So what took you to the broadcasting world? Did you major in any kind of broadcast communication, or did you just gravitate toward it during your playing career? What led you to the broadcast world?
I mean, to be honest with you, no, I didn't major in it, and I have to give my agent a lot of credit. His name is Todd France. You know, they set me up with when I was able to get an audition with ESPN, and I guess ESPN liked what I did, and you know, I was able to work there for 8 years from 04 to 2012, and that just helped me in a lot of ways. One way it helped me, it kind of kept my name out there. Yep. With some of the younger players, especially being an offensive lineman, so it really kept my name out in the forefront. But it also helped my communication skills. They helped me kind of sharpen my communication skills with what I had to do, what I needed to do. And, you know, if you're on the show with Stephen A. Smith, you learn how to debate people, too. So I got a good lesson with him and Skip Bayless. I got a good lesson on how to do debate. So it was a great time at ESPN. Met a lot of wonderful people there. Still know a lot of wonderful people over there with ESPN. And like I say, it really enhanced my career because, again, a lot of younger guys knew who I was because of my presence on ESPN.
Well, that's great to have such a distinguished career as a player and now building a distinguished career as a broadcaster. I mean, that's a phenomenal accomplishment. Let's get to today's Detroit Lions and head coach Dan Campbell. People are, you know, a lot of people, a lot of reaction to after the tough loss that you just suffered. Dan Campbell was very, very emotional, very, mm-hmm. very vulnerable. And people had an assortment of reactions. As a former player, I liked it. I respect the fact that, you know, to have it, a relationship's got to be built on respect and trust. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I bet the play, he loves his players. I bet his players love him. And that just showed it to me right there.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And just full disclosure, me and Dan Campbell played together for 2 years when I was with the New York Giants. So I love the guy. I love his personality. I love everything about Dan. And you're right. If you think about it, you don't see too many coaches. Maybe Dick Vermeil did. But you don't see too many coaches that put their emotions out there that way because you're going to have people just throwing darts at it. You're going to have people throwing positive darts, but you're going to have people throwing negative darts too. So for me, for him to show that vulnerability, for him to be willing to put that out there, it just shows the type of person he is. And I know all those guys in the room, all those players have to respect him because this man and his coaching staff pour everything they have into those weekly game plans. They pour everything they have into getting those guys prepared so they can go out there and be successful on Sunday. And I could feel it. I could feel it when it doesn't work out for you or you get two gut-wrenching losses like we had with the field goal kickers kicking the ball with no time left. I mean, as a player, and you know, Dave, I mean, you know, it hurts because we put so much into that to win and we go out win the game. That's the number one objective, is to win the game. And when you come up short, you kind of feel like the tank is a little empty. So I commend Dan for what he's doing, but I also commend him for what he tells his guys, which is he doesn't want guys hanging their heads or feeling sorry for themselves. He wants guys to keep at it, keep pounding that rock, because he knows if they keep doing that, some good things are going to come out of this. They're going to win their majority of games. So, he's, like I say, that's my dear friend. I love him to death. And I'm just glad as a man he's able to do that and show his emotions too.
I agree with you. Look, talk about his coaching staff. He's got so many former players in very, key coaching positions. 7 assistants, over 1,100 NFL game experience to lean on. Guys like, Mark Brunell is coaching the quarterbacks. Deuce Staley, assistant head coach, running back coach. Anthony Lynn is the offensive coordinator. Hank Fraley is the O-line coach.
Yes.
Antoine Randall, wide receivers. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator. Are players responding to all of these former players, leading them as coaches?
Absolutely. I think so. And I think the best example I could give you, even though he didn't play in the league, was Aubrey Pleasance. I don't know if you could go back to the first game of the season when Jeff Okuda got beat. And the biggest thing was the cameras caught Aubrey Pleasance up in Jeff Okuda's face, coaching him hard. Well, I don't think if those guys had the respect for that coaching staff, I don't know how that would have went over. But you heard every player, every defensive back says that's how coach is. We accept that. That's how we want to be coached hard like this. And it's a credit to, like you say, Dan Campbell. It's a credit to the staff. It's a credit to what those coaches did while they were NFL players, what they did in their careers. And look, and if it's me and I'm a player struggling on the field, when I come off the field, for me to have a Hank Fraley, a guy that's been in those trenches, a guy that's done what I've done, for him to tell me what I need to do to be successful, I couldn't help but look at it as a positive thing and take it as a positive. And I think each and one of those players, they do that, regardless of whether the coaches played in the league or not. I think this coaching staff as a whole has garnered that respect from these players. And yes, for me, like I said, I would love for an assistant coach to be one of my coaches, helping the guy or helping to try to help me guide my NFL career.
Like you mentioned, two heartbreaking 19-17 defeats, identical score, Baltimore Ravens, and everybody here in Cincinnati knows what a good football team the Baltimore Ravens are. And Tucker hits from 66 yards. Oh. Are you kidding me? It should have been 71. The play clock expires. They don't call it. I don't know. He might have hit it. Who knows? This guy's crazy. But, to have that – and then to identical score, like you said, at the gun again against the Vikings, that's gut-wrenching. That's heartbreaking. This football team has a lot of resiliency, though. Is that a fact?
That's the one thing that you can say about this team. The one thing that you know as an opponent, or you should know as an opponent, is they're going to fight you for the whole 60 minutes. They will fight you. You could think you're up on them. They are going to continue the fight. And that's what's kept these guys in games. These guys know what they're out there trying to get accomplished. But they take that attitude from Coach Campbell, where they're going to fight you to the end. They're going to claw, scratch, do whatever it takes to put themselves in a position to try to win the game. And like you say, man, I tell you what, Dave, I've never seen a 66-yarder before until then. And, man, that ball, it seemed like it was in the air forever, man. Never seen nothing like that before in my whole entire football career. So, it was just tough ways to lose the game. But the thing that as a fan that we know is that these guys are going to be in the game to the end. And that's good, because they're always going to give them an opportunity to try to win the game.
Yeah, when I first saw a replay of the kick, I thought, shouldn't they be turned around? That's a long way. I mean, they should be going opposite here. That was crazy. So, in your estimation, What are the Detroit Lions doing best right now as a football team?
Well, I think the best thing that, they're doing is, from the standpoint of running the ball, you know, getting those running backs involved in the game plan. To me, I mean, they're doing an excellent job either running it or catching the ball out the backfield. I think the offensive line, even though we're banged up and we took another hit with Frank Ragnow being done for the year, you know, but I thought the offensive line coming into the season was going to be the strength of the team. And they have been. They have been. You could say these first five games, the offensive line has played pretty well going up against some of the best defensive lines in the league. When you think about San Francisco defensive line, you think about Minnesota's defensive line they just faced. You know, Baltimore was a pretty good team and the Chicago Bears. So, you know, now we get to face another Cincinnati Bengals. You know, their defensive line is playing pretty well, and you get the addition. I think you have a guy that's coming back that hadn't played all year long that's coming off injury back on the defensive line. So they're facing another tough challenge. But I do think the Lions have been doing a great job for the most part of protecting Jared Goff. I think they've been opening holes for the running back, especially Jamal Williams. He's been running the ball really hard. And they've been giving them these guys an opportunity, like I say, to come out the backfield and catch passes and try to get some yards after the catch. So that I would think the offensive line has probably been the best group and probably been the best showing on the offensive side for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, the running backs and Hockenson at the tight end.
Yes.
Have been the leading receiver. Hockenson, is he going to be okay injury-wise? What's the state of the injury status so far?
Yeah, I think he's been practicing on a limited basis, so I think TJ will be all right. But the problem you're running into is now everybody knows about TJ. He's not a secret. So now you're finding teams that are starting to double-team him. So now this is where it's so important for our receivers to try to win their one-on-one matchups, get some separation between themselves and the defensive back so you can get Jared Goff a window to get the ball in. That's kind of been the Achilles heel. That's kind of been the thing that's kind of slowed up the offensive production from the wide receivers. But you can see little signs of them getting better and better each week. But that kind of has been what has, I think, slowed up the offense more than anything else this year.
The wide receiver position, yeah. What about Goff? Obviously, six fumbles. I saw you.
Yeah.
Six fumbles, lost four of them. His interceptions aren't crazy. I mean, three interceptions in five games, you can live with that. But the last couple of years, he threw a lot of interceptions with the Rams, and that was probably – a reason they were willing to part ways. But how's he playing? What's the team think about Jared Goff?
You know, I think when Jared has time, Jared has been playing. He's been playing pretty good ball. Of course, when you're on an 0-5 team, you know, and the quarterback's going to get a lot of the scrutiny, a lot of the bad scrutiny on the team. But I think he's been playing very well. I'm going to tell you what I think has been very underrated, too, is the play calling by Anthony Lynn. I think he's been doing an excellent job of putting these guys in positions to have success. I think he mixes up a lot of different things where you just can't key in on certain formations. You know, I think he's been doing a great job of moving our guys around so the defense can't just target in on guys. You know, he's been distributing the ball as much as he can, getting it distributed to all the different receivers. I think with Jared, just has to practice his ball security. And that's what, you know, holding the ball, especially when he's looking, when he's scrambling, he just has to just be more conscious about ball security. But you're right. He hadn't had a lot of bad interceptions, you know, and when he's had guys open, he's pretty much been getting the ball to these guys. So I don't see anything. The biggest thing that people look at is where he's not pushing the ball down the field. But again, that's a combination of a lot of different things, Dave, and it kind of starts with the receivers not being able to get the separation that they need to get. So I think that's going to come. I think they're going to keep working on it, and I think as the year progresses, that'll come too. But right now, I think the biggest knock against Jared is he's not being able to get the ball downfield. He's kind of checking it off a lot.
Let's flip to the defensive side of things. And, you know, the defensive linemen, watching those guys, I mean, they jump off tape with effort. The whole team does. You watch the Detroit Lions on tape, they're giving effort. I mean, they play hard. They play really hard. The D-line plays hard. I think in the secondary and linebacker, there may be more questions. I'm not saying they don't play hard, but talent-wise, I think, you know, secondary and the linebacker, because of injury, obviously, is a factor with guys that are missing. But are those problem areas? And talk about the defense in general, Lomas.
No, you hit it right on the head, Dave. Those have kind of been our areas of concern. Of course, we let cut Jamie Collins, the senior. We cut him. Because again, he didn't fit into the type of linebackers that we need, which are linebackers that cover space. He was more of a downhill linebacker. So you can kind of see that the Lions are still adjusting to that. They're bringing in Jalen Reeves, Maven, and you see other guys, Derek Barnes is in there now, along with Alex Anzalone. So those guys give them a little bit more athletic ability. And you're right, too, when you talk about the secondary. We got a young secondary that's been hit by injuries, you know, losing Jeff Fakuda, you know, losing Ify, because I can't say his whole name, Afatu. I just leave it alone. I just call him Ify. He's Ify to me. But losing him during the year and, you know, having the second youngest team in the NFL, as you know, you're going to have your ups and downs when you have a young team. And, you know, so I just think, you know, with the defensive line, what you're saying, Gale's great effort. I think the defensive line has really been a bright point for this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. If they could keep giving the effort and you count on these young guys, your linebackers and your secondaries, to keep improving over the weekend, then I think you'll see the total defense improve. But, you know, you're right. We have a long ways to go in the secondary. We got a long ways to go with the linebacker crew, just getting guys that fit Aaron Glenn's scheme and system that he wants to run defensively.
The all-important third phase, special teams. Jack Fox, man.
Ooh, the Fox. The Ooh, Fox.
Leg.
Man. Leg. Now, you know it's something when your kicker is probably your best player on the team. I mean, that's not, you know, your punter. You're not, you know, that's not a great indictment. But this guy has been phenomenal, man. I mean, you always know you're going to be able to flip the field with him. He's going to get hang time on his punts. And his directional punting has been – I mean, he just had his first touchback of the year just this past game. Wow. You know, so the guy, he's an ultimate weapon for us. And like I say, with his directional punting, it seems like he could put it wherever he wants to. I don't know. What would you call that? Would that be a 9-iron he's using? Because, man, he is dropping it in there.
That's unbelievable. How about the other phases of special teams? Pretty solid all the way around?
Yeah, you know, still an unknown with our kicker, even though he's been doing well, but it's still kind of unknown. He doesn't have a lot of kicks up under his belts. So, you know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see, even though he's been doing pretty good. Coverage has been great for us all year long. We haven't seen any breakdowns in the coverage or anything like that. So they've been doing well, both punting the ball and on kickoff returns. They've been doing well. So we know we haven't been able to pop one for a touchdown on kickoff returns. But I think that unit has really been solid, and especially, like I say, with the Fox,
yeah,
he's the man.
He's unbelievable.
Yes.
So in your conversations with coaches, what's their mindset or what's their belief in terms of the Cincinnati Bengals? Do they see the Bengals as an improved team? What do they think about Cincinnati?
I think they respect Cincinnati. I do see them seeing Cincinnati as a team that can win. Look, I've been watching film on Cincinnati. I watched the Green Bay game, and I got a couple of more that I need to finish watching. But, man, Cincinnati has it. You guys have a good team there. I mean, they're physical. They're physical up front. I think on both sides of the line, the scrimmage, I think they're physical. Joe Mixon, he runs the ball very well when he has the opportunities to. And Cool Joe, I mean, man, this dude just never seems to get rattled, man. I mean, I seen pressure in his face. I seen him take some hellacious hits. But the guy just never seems to get rattled. And I remember always loving a quarterback like that. You love a quarterback that's going to be one way in that huddle. You know, he won't be up and down. He's going to be the same way. And Joe seems to be that way. And you guys have a star at the receiver position. I mean, Jamar Chase, he is a star, but I still like T. Higgins, and I still like, oh, my goodness, I'm drawing the blank on the other receiver.
Tyler Boyd.
Yes, I like Tyler. I really, really like Tyler, and I think we're going to probably key on Jamar, but I think the person we need to key on is Tyler Boyd because I love what he does. So, yes, Cincinnati has a team, and I like Zach Taylor as the coach, man. He kind of reminds me of Dan Campbell a little bit, even though I know they kind of coached up under each other. He kind of reminds me of Dan, a young coach, and, you know, innovative coach, a guy that's going to get the best out of his talent. So, you know, the Lions are going to have to bring it. They're going to have to bring it with the same effort, just minus the penalties in the game and some of the turnovers. But they're going to have to bring their A-plus effort to be the Cincinnati team on Sunday.
Or one thing that jumps out at me is third down. And the Lions, I mean, they've only allowed 15 third down conversions in five yes. games. There were a couple of games they only gave up one third down conversion.
Yes.
And I'm looking at their third and 1-4. They're they've only allowed two conversions, eight opportunities, leads the league 25% in the third and short stuff. And that's what the Bengals last week, they were 3-for-9.
Yes.
Third and 1-4. So I'm looking at that third down as being a big, big matchup. What's the key to success on third down for the Lions, do you think?
So for the Lions, defensively, if you talk defensively, I really think it's the defensive line. I mean, they are really penetrating this year. And I can't really say, because I was on the outside looking in, I can't really say what technique that Matt Patricia had those defensive linemen playing when he was a head coach. But you see so much more penetration by the defensive line now than you did under the years that Matt Patricia was here. And as you know, penetration, the killer offensive play, you know, it'll force the running back to do things that he may not want to do. That's that pressure on the quarterback up in his face. So that penetration, I think, has been key for the Detroit Lions. And they've been doing a lot of this without having the blitz guys. And that's another key, you know, being able just to get that pressure with your front four guys, not having to bring a fifth guy. So I think from that standpoint, that has been the key. And for the Lions, offensively, they just have to stay up in front of the chains. What kills the Lions' third downs is they'll move the ball, but then you have a penalty that sets you back. And then it's almost like taking the momentum away from the offense and putting yourself in third and long situations where, you know, you got less of a chance of getting those situations. So the Lions, it's been penalties from the offensive standpoint. It's just been penalties and turnovers that have been killing them and killing drives, I would say, in these first five games for the Detroit Lions.
So clean up the penalties, take care of the football. Any other keys or musts that you think are big in this football game matching up the Lions and Bengals?
I think the other thing, I just think it'll be who controls the ball. I think when you got a good quarterback like Joe Burrow is, I just think for the Lions, they need the and Dan Campbell has said that he's put a lot more pressure on the offense because he feels that the offense needs to keep score with other teams or outscore other teams. So most of his pressure has been on the offensive side of the ball. They just need to keep drives going, keep the opposing quarterback and the opposing offense on the sideline. So, again, it comes down to, Dave, it comes down to penalties and turnovers. If they could stay ahead of the chains and keep the chains moving, I think they have a great, great opportunity to stay in games and to possibly win the games towards the end of them.
Final question. Who do you think that the coaches have been talking about? You mentioned Jamar Chase. You mentioned Joe Burrow. Is there anybody that they talk about on the defensive side of the football or any other offensive matchups that have concern?
Oh, yeah. I think the linebacker, the middle linebacker, I don't know why I'm drawing the blank. I apologize. But He has, yes, he has been playing very well. He's an impactful player over there on the defensive side of the ball. Yep. I was looking at, again, Hendrickson, the edge rusher. He's the guy that we're going to have to pay attention to because, again, you know, the strip fumble, him putting pressure on Jared Goff. So he's another guy that we're going to have to pay attention to. And, you know, just what kind of waiting to see what happens kind of in the secondary with you guys. But I definitely think Henderson and the linebacker for you guys, those are guys that the Lions are definitely going to have to put a circle around and keep an extra eyeball on those guys and make sure they don't impact the game the way that they can impact the game. So I'm looking for a bloodbath. I'm looking for it to be a physical game between the two teams, two young teams that are trying to win, that want to desperately win the game. You know, and I'm hoping that the Lions, we might have a little heads up by being at home. I'm hoping that the home crowd will help out a little bit, but I'm looking for a physical game that's going to be a close game.
Well, certainly do appreciate you carving time and visiting with us, Lomas, because I know you're busy. Give my best to my friend Dan Miller, your play-by-play podcast.
That's my guy there. Dave, I'm telling you, that man makes a field goal sound exciting. You'd be like, oh, my God, it's a field goal. You'd be like, yeah, like you just won the game, man. That is my guy. He makes my job so easy for me, man. That is my guy. I will make sure I tell him you say hello.
Yeah, please do. He's a pro's pro. There's no
doubt.
And I'll tell you what, you're a pro's pro. In every sense of the word, you're a great player. And making an impact in the broadcast world as well. Congratulations on all your successes, and have the best day you ever had, my man.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. You too, my good man.
Hi, Dave Lapham here. Have you heard about In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, presented by First Star Logistics? Catch new episodes from the world of sports and broadcasting. Search for In the Trenches with Dave Lapham on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.